660 AM, The Answer. Sean Hannity has a theory about the establishment Republicans.
They can't believe that the people are this angry. They don't want either of these top two guys. I suspect that there is an effort to see if you can get to the convention and deny either of these guys the nomination and go with a, quote, consensus candidate. In other words, to undermine the will of you, the voter.
The Sean Hannity Show, afternoons at 2, right before Michael Medved at 5 on 660 AM, The Answer.
What is Pink Impact?
Last year, Elaine Fisher spoke on being a light in dark places.
Even if you don't want to be there.
And during that message, I heard God shouting out my calling, be a light.
Being a light where all I saw was darkness.
Be a light.
That's my Pink Impact story.
Pink Impact, May 13th and 14th at the Fort Worth Convention Center with Priscilla Shire, Christine Kane, Charlotte Gamble, and Worship with Carrie Jobe. Get your tickets now at pinkimpact.com. That's pinkimpact.com.
660 AM, The Answer. 660 AM, TheAnswer.com.
Welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiatis. The second hour roundtable starts now.
Can you hear us now?
Hello there. Welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. So this is our second hour roundtable. My leading ladies tonight, I have Jenny McGarry and Carrie Kellerman.
Good evening.
Hi. Hey, girls. Okay, and we love that music. We all, when the music is on, everyone's going to smile, rocking in their seat. And, yeah, it's just fabulous music. Krista Branch is the artist, and just can't say enough good things about how her music kind of goes with the whole message of the show. So I want to play something. We were also talking in the debate on the break about who watches the Democrat debates. These ladies are shaking their head no. I actually do a lot of Fox News Radio political analysis, and I'm constantly having to say something intelligent about them. Say, oh, yeah, Hillary made her a dumb point. Whatever. So I watched them, but I missed this last one. Well, this was interesting, though, that what Hillary said, because, you know, this immigration issue, immigration, security are all interwoven issues, and they are on the Republican side probably the single, well, maybe jobs and the economy, but they're right up there with the big top issues. On the Democrat side, the argument is exactly the opposite. It is who can prove how completely you would surrender the border, how completely you would. So here's Hillary. It's a quickie. Let me make sure this thing's going to work. Let's see.
It's different.
You would stop those deportations.
I would stop
the deportations for children,
yes,
and those who don't have a criminal record.
Of the people, the undocumented people living in our country, I do not want to see them deported. I want to see them on a path to citizenship. That is exactly what I will do.
Senator Sanders.
Okay, so you hear the crowd. That was at a Univision debate. And so obviously Spanish language, I'm not sure how it worked, but they were translating, I guess, into Spanish. And the questioner was Jorge Ramos. That was a really short segment, but this went on and on. And Hillary was trying to make some distinctions, but she basically saying everybody's here. And she did say in a different segment, except, of course, violent criminals, whom she would deport. But beside that, everybody stays. So wonder this is just an interesting thing. I mean, this is a Democrat voter. This is a selling point.
And I tell you, it's like, except for violent criminals, does that mean that after they come here and commit the crime and show that they're violent criminals, or before they enter in the country illegally?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, we just had a case. In fact, it was heartbreaking.
Yeah, Missouri.
Yeah. It was one in Missouri. Was this the girl killed in the car accident? That story? There was a girl who was killed in a car accident. This is a true story. Illegal alien, other driver, at fault, drunk. And so he gets charged with intoxication manslaughter, and he's an illegal alien. He has no right to be here. He goes to the first hearing. The judge set a bond of $50,000. He posts whatever it was, $5,000, and they called ICE, couldn't get ICE to come fast enough, had to release him, and shock of all shocks, he's never showed up again. Hasn't showed up for his mandatory alcohol testing.
Not.
He's gone.
Yeah.
And so this, and he's just one, and you were thinking about different cases.
There was a different case in Missouri where somebody that was deported twice came back and killed 5 people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. I remember that.
And, you know, you think, I mean, in what way does this make sense for American society? And the idea of government is to protect the American citizens, mm-hmm. at least.
Right.
And this is, so. And this, in fact, there's a, Carrie and I have been talking on a different subject, but we were talking about this thing, the Remembrance Project.
The Remembrance Project is a group of people that honor those that have been killed by those that are in our country illegally. I believe it's based in Houston, Texas.
Yep.
And if you go to their website, I believe it's rememberanceproject.org, but they have a quilt of the people that have been killed by illegal immigrants, and there's even children on this quilt. A lot of them are by drunk driving, and some of them are by assaulted robbery, you know.
Violence in public schools. When was
right.
it?
Oh,
and,
my
you
gosh.
Know, this is the thing. You can't keep, no government can keep every citizen safe.
Mm-hmm.
If we had no illegal immigrants here, you'd still have bad crimes.
Correct.
And bad things
sure.
happen.
There still is, but their point is that we're importing it. We're importing people, and we're not deporting people that are violent and have proven they're violent, and we can't. And they keep coming back in. The one that shot Kate Steinle in San Francisco
had
been deported 5 times already, and he kept coming back.
And the thing is, too, is you don't have a secure border. There is no way to stop them from coming back. They're just in the hordes of people crossing the border. So this is, you know, this and this Remembrance Project thing. The reason I was thinking about it was, it's not just, you think, what are there, 5 people? It's in the thousands.
It's terrible. There's 179,000 illegals that are criminals that are running loose on the American streets right now.
And this whole thing, you know, this is, the left tries to say, oh, this is a xenophobic. You don't like them because they don't look like you. You don't. This has nothing to do with discrimination, bias. This has everything to do with a secure society, a civil, safe, secure society.
Well, and part of it means that Mexico is not our friendly neighbor because they don't want to house these people. It costs money to keep people in prison, so they just send them back over.
Yeah,
it's about sovereignty.
Anyway.
It's about sovereignty. And,
right.
and the
yeah.
United States of America should have sovereignty.
Yeah, we should be able to decide who comes into our country and how many.
So you two ladies over here, Carrie and Jenny, you have a sovereignty story that Angela Merkel learned today.
Yes, yes.
So what happened over there?
That just
Germany.
Go ahead.
Well, Germany had a little vote today, and it's been called the Night of Horror for Angela Merkel. Her name means angel of mercy, but I don't think very many people in Germany see it that way. In 2015 alone, Germany was overwhelmed with 1.1 million refugees.
At her bidding.
Right. Welcomed them
yes.
with open arms.
I'm sorry, wait, how many?
1.1 million in 2015 alone. So they're coming, and I think some people speculate that the reason, because I kept thinking, why would this, who, and for what reason would you let this many people in? Germany's birth rate has been negative for a long
yeah.
time. I believe it's 2.2 is the status quo birth rate, but they've been below that for years and years and years. And she's thinking, oh, good, workers. We'll just let all these people in and we'll fill our factories. Well, these people are not here to work. They're not coming to Germany to work. They are wanting a free ride. They're mostly men. We're not talking about older people and children.
Well, we know what even happened on New Year's Eve. All mm-hmm. of the different protests that have been occurring all over Germany once she started this entire policy, because it also came with entitlements for these refugees that came across the border.
Okay, isn't it Cologne? Is that the town? Where
yes,
it was
Cologne,
okay.
But it was more than just Cologne.
It was systematic.
Right.
Okay, but this, because this show is completely not politically correct, I'm going to say that the vast majority of these refugees are Muslim. They are people who are pouring in.
Correct.
All over Europe, due to the horror created by ISIS, they are Islamic refugees fleeing not just Syria, but northern African countries, all over the Middle East. There's just chaos. And so Islamic refugees coming into countries and bringing the sense and from their country of origin, their culture, their expectations about
right.
women, how women can be treated. Okay, so how bad is Angela? So Angela Merkel brings all these Muslims in and has had a problem.
And there's
now.
Protests, and you know, you have to understand with Germany, it's multi-party, but the main parties are the Social Democratic Party and the Christian Democratic Union, which is the one I believe that Merkel is part of
the CDU.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Who won?
Well, it's a complicated system, but she's lost seats. I think she lost 12% of her seats in her party, which weakens her position.
And the name of the party, I think, is the Alternative.
The one that's rising is called the Alternative for Germany Party, and it's a populist Party that's basically saying we don't want these refugees. We want to be able to control who comes in and how many. And right now we're saying no mas, no more. We can't handle it.
And that was a cultural mix, no mas. Yes.
Correct. But here's the digging of the heels of Angela Merkel. They asked her, does this vote mean that you should take a second look at your refugee policy? And she said no.
You have to be kidding.
I'm not kidding.
See, this is the mindset simply astounding. And, you know, this isn't just Germany has a big problem because they have been welcoming in the tens or hundreds of thousands. Or you said just said a million. I mean,
1.1 million in 2015 alone.
And so this is, you know, you can't help but change a country when you bring that many people in. But it's not just Germany. It's happening throughout Western Europe. It's happening in the Scandinavian countries. Denmark has a huge problem. Right. Sweden has a huge problem. In fact, we're going to tell you a story. Maybe I'll quick tell it now about what's happening in Sweden. You know, there's a this whole lie the left had about the war on women, but really progressivism that just kind of says, hey, let everybody in. What's the big difference? You know, we're all just one big happy family. So in Sweden, there has now, because of the huge number of people, 163,000 people welcome in Sweden. Again, these are largely men and largely Muslim men who are fleeing the violence of ISIS, have joined the Swedish population, which is only 10 million itself. So that's over 10% of the population.
Wow.
And in one of the a smaller city in this town called Östersund, this is a nice Norwegian name, but actually this is Sweden, the women have been told, don't go out at night. You can't go out at night. It's not safe if women go out at night because you may be attacked. And this is not because all of a sudden Swedish men have become more violent. It's because this is what happens when you invite in a culture that doesn't have the westernized concept, the notion of respect for women, that men have to treat women with respect, that you simply can't force yourself on someone. This is what's happening, and we ought to, in America, as we're looking at President Obama again proposing bringing in tens of thousands more Islamic refugees to America, watch what's happening in Europe and take note. We don't have to just follow the crowd. This is Debbie Georgiadis, Carrie Kelman, Jenny McGarry. Going to our break. Great next segment coming up about the elections. Don't go away.
Can you hear us now? 660 AM, The Answer. 660 AM, TheAnswer.com.
This is Debbie Georgiadis. On this show, we've been talking about the idea that Americans must reclaim the identity of America, the components of the American dream. This American identity is made up of ideas, and these ideas are the reason that America is the most exceptional nation on earth. But to hold on to this American identity, we have to connect the dots between the ideas and today's policy choices. This American identity includes equal rights for everyone from our Creator, individual, not collective rights, equal application of the law, free markets, and the entrepreneurial spirit, a strong connection between hard work and reward, private property rights, national unity around ideas and not ethnicity, and a rock-solid commitment to the freedom of religion, speech, and assembly. If we lose this American identity, we lose America. Keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on 660 a.m. The Answer. We talk truth about America.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. MiniCPAP.com now offers a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's called the Transcend Mini CPAP, and right now you can try it risk-free for 10 days by calling 1-800-600-9144. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. Call MiniCPAP.com now for your 10-day at-home trial. 1-800-600-9144. That's 1-800-600-9144.
We are visiting our friend Chef Tom Fleming at Crossroads Diner. What do you have cooking today, Tom?
Have you had a chicken piccata? Come on, say it with me. Piccata. Haven't heard of it? Sorry for you, bro. We pan-sear our own chicken and lemon and capers in a sauce so good, you want to swim in it. We call it the backstroke sauce. But the real stars of the dish are the herb-roasted Yukon potatoes. Trust me, you won't know what you want more of, the chicken or the tater.
Fresh ingredients sure to please any sophisticated palate and taste at affordable diner prices in a casual environment. Crossroads Diner. Come eat with us at our new location, now at the corner of Preston and Campbell in the Kroger Shopping Center. Open for breakfast and lunch Tuesday through Sunday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Or visit them on the web at crossroadsdiner.com. Homestyle goodness meets traditional diner. Great recipes, fresh ingredients, comfortable environment, and genuine hospitality are the heart and soul of Crossroads Diner. We'll be waiting for you.
This tax season, A Number One Air wants you to save big. Here are Sherry and James Green.
Just trust the IRS.
That's our instant rebate special. Get up to $3,000 instant cash rebate on a new AC system or water heater.
That's up to $3,000 instant cash back on a new AC system or water heater with financing plans for everyone.
Call 1-800-NEW-COOL or visit anumberoneair.com.
A Number One Air.
Have you ever considered joining the military but stopped because you couldn't deploy to a foreign country? Believe it or not, the state of Texas has its own military force that stands alongside the Texas National Guard, the Texas Air National Guard, and serves only inside the state of Texas. It's called the Texas State Guard. I'm Tech Sergeant John Wells of the 4th Air Wing, and we're looking for you to join us. Give us a call at 877-398-8350. That's 877-398-8350. If you love Texas as much as we do, join the 4th Air Wing of the Texas State Guard.
660 AM, The Answer.
More of Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiatis, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Can you hear us now? Okay, welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. So it's kind of funny. You all hear us talking on air, and then as soon as you go off, we're all discussing which story we should go to. I want to say a little bit more about this this whole issue with Islamic immigration to America. Because it is a really sensitive issue, and it has many people on the American left thinking that everybody who's opposed to Islamic immigration to America is intolerant, only likes people who look like them, doesn't have compassion. And, you know, some of the immigrant, I mean, we have actually in America a refugee policy. When you're truly fleeing persecution, we have, and it was actually created back in the time after the Cold War ended, and people were trying to get here from Vietnam. They were from formerly communist countries. They're being they really were being hunted down, and that's a true refugee. And so that's one issue, is, you know, true persecution. Then there's perhaps economic refugees. I don't know if we should call it that, but the point of all this is that America has a great history of helping people in the world. But right now we're in a place where the people who are spreading across Europe, wreaking havoc because of the values that they brought with them from their homeland, regardless of the reason they left, and Carrie's going to tell you in a second, it's not all just fleeing persecution, but they're wreaking havoc. And in America, we have people who are trying to say, we have to stop this and get it under control. So I want to tell you in my kind of two conflicting things I want to say. In America, we have literally hundreds of thousands, if not probably millions, of peaceful Muslims who live in America who aren't trying to do anything. Now, we don't know what they're being taught in their mosques when the doors are closed. We don't know what the imams are saying. We don't know whether those are truly peaceful people who do not embrace what the Quran says about you must commit jihad, you must pursue a caliphate, you must pursue Sharia law. There are plenty of things in the Islamic founding documents that justify virtually all the violence we're seeing around the world conducted by Muslims, because that is what says in their founding documents in the Quran and the Surah and other texts, scripture or Holy Scripture, whatever they call them within Islam, that justifies that conduct. So it's a hard thing in America, even within America, to know what's happening in the mosques when the doors are closed. What are people taught? And so Europe, what we're seeing in Europe is a potential, future of America type thing, as their native population is overtaken in large numbers and a rapid pace by people fleeing, whether it's economic depravity or fleeing violence, we're seeing the true horror being created over there. So the question is, in America, how we protect ourselves. Now, I will tell you that I have one woman I'm coming to regular contact with these days. She is a young, she's a physical therapist. She's young. She is Muslim. She wears a headscarf. And she is so lovely and gracious. And we talk about our families and our, I mean, she's just lovely. And so I know all of us have friends or contacts, people we know who are followers of Islam and who are peaceful and lovely. And so no one is painting with a broad brush every single member of the religion of Islam. We are saying, as Americans, we have the right to protect ourselves and not bring people who are the next San Bernardino killers, mm-hmm. the next Boston bombers, marathon bombers. Mm-hmm. We have the right to try to get a system in place. And this is really one of the major issues in this campaign cycle, that in this presidential election, is how do we protect ourselves?
Right. Well, one of the tactics of the left is to try to shame people into their point of view. We must take these people in. It's not Christian not to. And they'll use the word sojourner, that in the Bible, the sojourners were taken in. But if you look at the biblical definition of sojourner, a sojourner was someone who was traveling, but they also submitted themselves to the laws of the country they were in. This is not happening in Germany. This is not happening in Europe. These people are not respecting the culture. They're not respecting the German laws. And the German people have gotten to a point, based on the results of this election, where they say, who represents us? Isn't it our government's job to represent our interests and not the interests of those on the outside of our borders? What about the German people? We built this country. We live here. We have culture. We have traditions, and our own government is letting in people who don't respect this.
Yep. Absolutely correct. And the thing is that where immigration policy interferes with public safety, that is where our government is failing us. And it's very true. A lot of things are happening. I'm a lot less safer today in my mind than I was 8 years ago. And part of it is because of what we don't know, what we've decided not to learn, what we've decided not to figure out, what guidelines we have not set up as a government. And that is something that should be concerning every American out there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, this is it's an amazing thing to watch, because the woman's heart, you know, the woman's voter heart, number one, women tend to be driven by compassion, mm-hmm. concern. And so I do have more Democrat liberal friends who just think that any suggestion of halting Islamic immigration to America is somehow not compassionate, because their woman's heart goes to look at these people, they need help. Mm-hmm. And they do. I mean, there are people mm-hmm. who need some place to go, or they need a place to be provided for where they are. But on the other hand, the mother's heart, the woman's heart, is protective of your family and your
exactly.
child.
Well, exactly.
There was a 13-year-old girl, I think it was around Christmas time, who was on her way to school in Germany, and she was kidnapped and gang raped for 30 hours, a 13-year-old girl. So when you think about compassion, you think, okay, well, these people may have a horrible home situation, but isn't the government of Germany, isn't their compassion supposed to be for their own citizens first? And keep
yes.
and their safety. So when in Cologne and Stuttgart and Hamburg and all these other places, when there's a coordinated New Year's Eve sexual assault on the women of Germany, and the people of Germany rise up to protest, why is the German government turning water cannons on its own citizens to put down a protest of the raping of their own women? This is completely backwards.
Yeah. You know, there's something very bizarre about how these issues play out in Europe and here. It is like a turning on its head of everything logical you think government would do. It's mm-hmm. just
we've got to put our own citizens first.
Well, that's what I think. That's
first.
What every country wants. I think
first.
Everyone is starting to say that. In England, they're starting to kind of there's talk about pulling out of the EU because the EU is calling the shots for everybody instead. And the English people are like, no one's listening to us. What about
what we want. Yeah, exactly.
What about what we want?
I think that's one of the conversations that's happening in America, is when are we going to put Americans first? And I think that is a conversation that's happening in all of the countries that are being affected this way and seeing their security threatened and their culture threatened. And you cannot blame them for starting to feel this way.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking when you were talking? I remember when there was talk, we were, you know, children, about communism and the threat of communism. And this concept was always, they would say, well, you know, why we oppose communism? Because they will change our way of life. And I remember thinking as a kid, what does that mean? I mean, we'll still get up in the morning, the sun will come up, we'll eat breakfast, go to school. But there are so many things you are unspoken and unrecognized in day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. But if they changed in America, you'd say, hey, it didn't used to be that way. But I mean, it's a that change our way of life thing is really a very, it's includes a lot of different possible attacks on American culture. But that change our way of life is exactly what could happen, whether we are overrun by communism, so we lose mm-hmm. all the self-reliant spirit and the can-do attitude and building your wealth, or whether it is the change in culture that comes from equalizing Islamic values with American kind of traditional cultural Christian values.
Well, if you're in Sweden and you're a woman, that means the change in your life is you can't walk around at night by yourself. Or if you're a mother in Austria, you can't send your young child to a public swimming pool and let him go to the dressing room unattended, or he might get raped by someone from a different country that holds different values.
Yeah. You know, this is a very tough thing because what people dislike is this painting with a broad brush. All people of this background or this religion or this race are the same, and they're not. But just because mm-hmm. we are smart enough not to be painting with a broad brush doesn't mean we can't look at historical fact, historical culture, differences in culture. Imagine, you know, I think about that in France, they finally said they banned the burqa. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have to say, much as I think the burqa is the most oppressive thing, I couldn't stand it. We wouldn't do that in America because we have this value of freedom of religion. We would never do that here. We might shame people, we might hate it, but we wouldn't ban it here.
Do you think they'd be able to get through a TSA line at the airport with one on?
I certainly hope not. I mean, I certainly hope not. And they'd have a picture taken, just mm-hmm. like all of us do, to actually mm-hmm. show your face. We know we have, I want to turn after we get back from this break coming up and talk about the election cycle and what's happening in the, not just with the Donald Trump campaign, but what's happening in the broader realm of we're coming up on March 15th is a this coming Tuesday. They're calling out the second Super Tuesday, but it's come after the break. We'll go right off and talk about the next Super Tuesday and what's happening in the GOP primary. Come back after our break. Can you hear us now?
Hey, 3 hours a day is all I ask. Join me, Sean Hannity, from 2 to 5 each weekday, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Some on the American left claim they are standing up for women when they are really just selling failed liberal ideas. They do this because once they claim the pro-women banner, they can attack people who disagree with their political opinions as anti-women. The truth is, American women have formed countless new conservative political organizations. Here are a few. Ladies Can We Talk, Independent Women's Forum, Chicks on the Right, Smart Girl Politics, Claire Booth Luce Society, Politichicks, Susan B. Anthony List, Kitchen Cabinet, Voices of Conservative Women, Concerned Women of America, Eagle Forum. Millions of American women embrace conservative ideas because those ideas actually make life better for women. This is Debbie Georgiatis. Keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on 660 a.m. The Answer. We talk truth about America and about how the issues impact all Americans, including women.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And the Grammy goes to.
And the American Music Award goes to.
And the Grammy goes to.
And the Grammy goes to.
Mr. Stephen Curtis Chapman.
With a career spanning over three decades, Stephen Curtis Chapman has pretty much done it all, except for one thing.
Hi, we're Third Day.
Be a member of Third Day? One night where two of our industry's top performers literally merge into each other's bands to play each other's songs that you've loved for years.
Our sister station's doing it again.
The 94.9 KLTY Concert Series welcomes Stephen Curtis Chapman with Third Day
at the Verizon Theater on April 30th.
We're forming circles.
sort of one new band called SCC3D, I think is what we're calling it.
You'll probably never see anything like this again. Get your tickets right now at AXS.com. That's AXS.com. One night you'll never forget. Get your tickets right now at AXS.com.
Take a second to think. I mean, how many Bibles do you have laying around your home? Two, three? Now think about all the places you can go to buy one. There's a store on every corner or a Bible app in every phone. We've become so numb to how easily accessible a Bible can be, but what if your pastor had to walk a day's journey to the nearest Bible, memorize a chapter, then walk back to his church to preach that message he just memorized? That's the case for the churches planted by Harvesters throughout Africa. Harvesters is a ministry focused on planting churches in Muslim-crowded communities throughout Africa. There's a problem, though. Some of these churches don't even have one Bible. Either Muslim groups have burnt them or there's not access to one in the native tongue. For a one-time donation of $15, you can provide a Bible to a pastor in one of these churches. Just go to 660amtheanswer.com and click on the Harvesters banner to learn more. Go to 660amtheanswer.com and click on the Harvesters banner right now.
The year is not so new anymore, but your carpets can look that way with Zero Res. Hey, Mark Davis, my friends at Zero Res just gave me a fantastic carpet cleaning, and I'm offering it to you. $33 a room. $33 a room by calling 214-37-CLEAN, then plus 100 square feet of tile cleaning for free and a $50 gift card from Estilo Gaucho. It is pre-treated, clean, and sanitized. Best carpet cleaning ever from my friends at Zero Res. $33 a room. Call them now for the special. 214-37-CLEAN for Zero Res. 214-37-CLEAN.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had numerous credit cards, and I was struggling with paying them off, so I made the call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
The people at Trinity are very friendly. They will do whatever you need them to do in order for you to feel better about being in a very difficult place.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
Listen to us live on iHeartRadio, 660 AM, The Answer.
866-660-5759 is the number to call with your question or comment. Back to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiatis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hey, welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. We have our second hour roundtable with my buds, Jenny McGarry and Carrie Kellerman. Love having them in the studio. We talk politics whether we're here or not, so you might as well be here talking politics. Well, you know what? We have primaries coming up, and I'm sure you know, March 15th, which is this coming Tuesday, so it's a couple days away, Major League primaries coming up in Missouri, North Carolina, Ohio, Florida, and Illinois. And those are big primaries. The shift has been, I'm sure you all listeners know, but starting March 15th, it's a winner-take-all system instead of proportional in terms of the number of delegates you get, delegates to the GOP National Convention in Cleveland in July. So these are winner-take-all, really big stakes for all the campaigns. And one thing I thought was so interesting, first of all, I learned the Democrats never go to winner-take-all. They have all their races remain proportional. I think that seems better. What do you guys think about that? This is not what
I don't know.
About,
I understand they have one third of their delegates are super delegates.
That's true. Too. I don't know if one third, but it's huge.
It's a really big number, and they're not committed. They can vote however they want. So that to me, that seems really scary.
Oh, it's so unrepresentative of the people. It's again that typical left wing, big government elitism. We can't really trust these dumb little voters. So no matter what they do, these super delegates controlled by the powers that be in the in the party choose. And so Hillary has not been that far ahead in total delegate count from Bernie Sanders.
But she's going to get the super delegates.
She's got virtually all the super delegates, not all, but most of the super delegates so far.
Well, yeah. In New Hampshire, Bernie beat her by 20 points, but she walked away with all the delegates.
See, that's fair. That's Democrat fairness for you. But what I will say about most seriously is I think the Democrat super delegates thing fits with the whole Democrat Party mindset. The ruling elite will solve it for you. Don't trust the little peasants, they can't solve this. But on our side, on the GOP, I would say this is, I am conservative and
this is our side.
This is our side. I don't really see the virtue of going winner take all. In fact, I kind of like the idea of continuing the voters in the later states actually having as much impact as the earlier ones in terms of who they like. But do you think, what do you think?
Well, the RNC changed rules from the last election. Florida was not winner take all. It was a proportional state until right after the 2012 election.
And there's a lot of speculation about how the RNC really was trying to get at the idea of greasing the skids or structuring the delegate thing. So at the end of the day, once they had their establishment candidate, they hoped, Jeb Bush, winning by now, that then he could just skate the rest of the way with winner-take-all,
That's what I'm thinking, too.
It appeared, though, structured to stymie a movement candidate, somebody that might start picking up speed. And so the original proportional states, as on March 1st, were to prevent somebody from kind of running away with it early.
So. Okay. Well, I don't know. To me, it goes back to the fairness to the voters. The voters should get the most power they have. Anyway, okay, so there's a big survey, and I guess I forgot to email it to these ladies, so now I can quiz them because they don't have it in front of them. I do. That's right. And it was on very recent polling comparing the priorities of Democrat versus Republican voters. I will put this up in the Ladies Can We Talk Facebook page. Don't forget to go there. It's a great Facebook page. Okay, so this is Republicans for 34%, the biggest issue to Republicans, if you had to pick your top issue, 34% said terrorism. What percent of Democrats do you think said terrorism was their top issue? Want to take a guess?
10.
You're so close. I'm going to give it to her right there. 11. Okay. 11%. Okay. Only 11%. It's like, don't they live near the border? Or don't? I mean, what are these people thinking? Okay. And then another one is very interesting. A very big difference, I would say. Let's see. Okay. Actually, jobs and the economy were pretty close. Republicans said 26%. That was their top issue, and Democrats 29%. Okay. This is one kind of funny. Environmental policy. What percent of Democrats said that was our top issue?
95, 98.
No. Actually, it's kind of funny because they had to, they had to divide their votes up, and they went with other things. But what's funny, environment, 15% of the Democrats said the top issue, 2% of Republicans. And actually, this is another really, really funny thing, education. Now, I think education is an important issue, but it's not a federal election issue to me. I mean, I wouldn't put it.
It's not a public school. When you talk to a conservative, oftentimes when you're talking about education, you're also talking about choice of homeschooling versus public school versus money going to more public schools and teacher organizations, Common Core and things like that.
Exactly. And I don't think of, education, I want it to be good, but I don't think of it as a, anyway, so on education, 13% of Democrats said it's their top issue. That's kind of weird. What do they want in Washington?
More money in public schools and for the teacher unions.
That's a good point. Okay. Yeah. And Republicans and education, you want to guess?
3%?
You are right there, 4%. Okay. Yeah. So this is really interesting because it all this sways how these candidates campaign. Mm-hmm. I mean, Hillary's out there and she's competing. She and Bernie Sanders competing for who would let more people stay here and give an instant path to citizenship. You know, who would abandon any attempt to secure the? They're proudly out liberaling each other.
They're trying to out Santa.
Yes, they are.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Okay. So the primary is kind of, this is really interesting. I will say on Super Tuesday because I will probably watch. Well, this is the second Super Tuesday. March 15th is actually another Super Tuesday 2 days from now. And it's actually really fun. I guess there was one Wyoming yesterday. Wyoming voted. Right. Okay. But they have some weird system there.
It was like a convention and it was like 1,000 people.
Okay. And they have two or three of them. I think it's three. This was the first one. There's another one in April. I don't understand.
I'm doing well to understand Texas.
Yeah, we know Texas. Well, anyway, I just think these are really important to watch, what the candidates have to say about what their priorities are. Because to me, when you look at the GOP debate, in fact, I have the most recent GOP debate. I have some top issues they identified in the debate, and I'm going to try to get my happy computer here to play these links for you. But they were really interesting. They had a debate about Social Security and fixing Social Security. I mean, that's a good issue, I think. It's a reasonable issue. And mainly had to do with on Social Security. Let me see if I can get this to come up. What do we do?
Hello.
Whoops, sorry.
More.
that was a commercial. I didn't mean to put that up. with Social Security, they're asking them essentially, what are you going to do? Because if you have entitlements totaling over 70% of the federal budget, and so you have a smaller and smaller portion of the budget mm-hmm. left for allegedly discretionary things like the military, for example, mm-hmm. you know, how do you, and so they had, there was one dispute between Donald Trump and Marco Rubio, and Donald Trump said, I wouldn't touch a thing. No, not going to touch Social Security for anyone, any age. I think Cruz did weigh in because Marco Rubio said, but the numbers don't add up. You can't just keep everyone eligible. You've got to make some changes. Mm-hmm. And so Rubio had something about, he wouldn't be able at his age to retire and collect benefits. He was 68. Mm-hmm. And Ted Cruz had the thing, yeah, when you're younger, you got to. So what do you guys think about all that? Do you have any reaction to all that? Like, what do you think about whether that's going to sway people very much? Or
let me just say, with the debates, I am so tired of them focusing on one person. I want to hear how each of the candidates would govern. Mm-hmm. And I want to hear enough from each of them instead mm-hmm. of just reaction to one candidate. I don't want to I hear enough about that one candidate. I want to hear about how everybody else thinks, feels about policy and what they plan to do and where they stand on the issues.
And you're talking about Donald Trump. Trump gets all the questions. It's horrible.
And it's like, okay, Mr. Rubio, Mr. Cruz, please respond to Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. I don't want that. I want here's a question for you, Mr. Cruz. Here's a question for you, Senator Cruz, Senator Rubio. I want to hear about how they want to govern, where they stand on the issues. And I'm not hearing that. All I'm hearing about is trying to exploit a very popular topic of Donald Trump. And mm-hmm. and that's fine and wonderful. I want to hear what he has to say as well. But there's more than one candidate on that stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did miss the most recent debate, right?
I watched most of it and then I turned it off when they just kept saying, "You said in this time." So what did you think about that, Senator Rubio? It was just like,
yeah,
and I turned it off.
I don't like. I mean, I think the networks must make a lot of money from these things because it does tend to be that way where, I think, first of all, even Donald Trump was interviewed today and said something about, I think we've kind of covered all the subjects we've had. We've had questions.
More than enough. I think it's time. It's the networks that are making money and the candidates don't want them. They're pretty clear about that. They don't want any more.
I did appreciate the most recent debate compared with all the other ones. They didn't have the back and forth, whether it was between Trump and Rubio or mm-hmm. it was more about, so at least the questions were direct. What do you think mm-hmm. about it? And they really resisted they just kind of agreed ahead of time to be like adults. It was the first time, honestly, that it was so much better. And I think I'm afraid that many Americans by now are tuned out. They don't even want to hear it, but. Yeah,
it's just the way that they did it. I mean, everybody wants to hear what Governor Kasich has to say. Everybody wants to hear what Senator Cruz has to say. But
I don't want to hear what Kasich has to say.
Well, I want to hear. I want to know. I want to be informed. I'd like to at least know, this is where I stand on this. Okay, this is where I stand on this. Okay, because goodness knows, we're looking at that stage. And let's be realistic. There may be members of a cabinet that are also going to be on that stage. You just don't know.
Oh, I think there's some big, big issues that are being discussed in this election. And I, for one, am very, very glad that we're finally talking about immigration. We're talking about national sovereignty. We're talking about trade like we've never ever. I can't remember the last time we started talking about trade and fair trade versus free trade versus smart trade versus whatever. This is a whole new topic for me. I haven't heard it discussed in this kind of depth before. I'm very glad for it. But other issues that seem to come up year after year after year, like Social Security and things like that, they're important, but they're not the big, 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 big issues I think that Americans are really worried about.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? I'm going to take issue with that, but we are past our break time. Let's come back after the break, and we're going to wrap it up talking about the debates and the presidential election cycle. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Can you hear us now?
Saying I don't know is no longer acceptable. This is 660 AM, The Answer. The Mark Davis Show.
The Mark Davis Show.
So, anything happened while I was away? I know better. But here comes our first chance to sling hot topics. And on the day before Ohio and Florida, Looking forward to a Monday show where we can get caught up on recent events and see where this whole presidential train is headed. Looking forward to it. Join us for the Monday show.
The Mark Davis Show. Weekday mornings at 7, right before Mike Gallagher at 10 on 660 AM, The Answer.
In a 1940s movie called Gaslight, starring Ingrid Bergman, she's married to a creepy guy who's trying to drive her insane so he can put her away and get access to her money. To do that, he misleads, mocks, and berates her to make her question what she sees, hears, and thinks. This gaslight tactic the creepy husband uses is used in today's politics. Mainstream Americans want border security and an end to sanctuary cities. But we're berated by politicians who say that if we think that, we're racist. Many Americans support traditional marriage, but we're told we're haters if we think that. Same on abortion. We either support it or we are part of the war on women. All of that is gaslighting, and it works when we are silenced by those who mock. Gaslighting shuts down free speech and thoughtful conversation. This is Debbie Georgiatis. I hope you'll keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on 660 AM, The Answer. We talk truth about America.
Have you put off seeing the dentist because you can't afford to go? Are big dental bills taking a big toll on your wallet? Would you like to have dental insurance but think it's too expensive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company for a free information kit. See how you can help protect your teeth and your wallet for less than a dollar a day. 1-800-508-9951. This is real dental insurance that can help cover over 300 procedures, all the ones you're most likely to need. Everything from cleanings and fillings to crowns and dentures. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired or on Medicare. You can see any dentist you choose, and you'll never pay a deductible. Call in the next 10 minutes, and we'll rush you a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-508-9951. That's 1-800-508-9951. 1-800-508-9951.
Hey, everybody. Mark Davis. Texas has weighed in at the polls. Now it's time to focus on what statement you make when you pay your cell phone bill. Well, maybe you're thinking, I'm just paying my cell phone bill. Uh-uh. If you're in bed with Big Mobile, you're supporting the Democratic Party. Helping Hillary right now helped Obama win twice. Wow. Why? Well, because Big Mobile, companies you're well familiar with, support Democrats. Was there a conservative cell phone company? There sure is. Patriot Mobile. 1-800-A-PATRIOT or patriotmobile.com. Same quality of service, better prices, supporting better causes at Patriot Mobile. Come on over and join the revolution. It's easy. Keep your same phone number. They'll buy you out of your current contract. As a Patriot Mobile customer, you'll get to pick which conservative causes and candidates they support. So switch today. Patriot Mobile. 1-800-A-PATRIOT, 1-800-A-PATRIOT, or patriotmobile.com. Again, you're getting the same quality of service, better prices, and supporting better causes. All at patriotmobile.com. 1-800-A-PATRIOT.
What is Pink Impact?
Last year was my first ever Pink Impact, and I have to say it was a really cool experience.
It was really cool.
God had really been stirring my heart to be around more women, and He healed me of some female wounds that I've been carrying for years.
God worked on me and healed me of the way I treated women.
Pink Impact, May 13th and 14th at the Fort Worth Convention Center with Priscilla Shire, Christine Kane, Charlotte Gamble, and Worship with Carrie Jobe. Get your tickets now at pinkimpact.com. That's pinkimpact.com.
Dallas, Fort Worth's home for stimulating talk. 660 AM, The Answer.
We return to Ladies Can We Talk with host Debbie Georgiatis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk, and we went a time at long last segment, so now we're going to talk super fast for the next 10 minutes. But I do want to, before we get going, thank the sponsor for the show. This radio program would not be possible without the generosity of a Dallas-based company called GC Works. This company performs research in advanced technology and delivers innovative approaches to the oil and gas industry. Great company, great people, great sponsor. Thank you so very much for sponsoring this show. Cannot thank them enough. Okay, so we have in this last segment, we usually always do tweets and quotes, but I just want to dive into the heart of all this, the issue that's kind of stirring everybody up, which is after March 15th, assuming Senator Rubio cannot win Florida, which it appears Nearly likely he cannot, nearly impossible. And assuming Governor Kasich does not win Ohio, which I guess he's a little closer, he's edging his way up. But this seems to me, and I'm just going to lay it out there, the most unpatriotic, self-absorbed, just putting self and ego ahead of the country for those two not to get out and let. This is really a two-man race already. I mean, virtually every race is a two-man race. It's Trump or Cruz. As I think you all know, I am a Cruz supporter. I will vote for whoever wins the nomination, but I am a Cruz supporter and on many levels think he is a far superior choice to Donald Trump. And my dear friends disagree with me, but I think that the letting the American people have that choice is the patriotic thing. I am just distressed beyond words, the notion that either Senator Rubio or Governor Kasich would stay in. And I actually think in Senator Rubio's case, there's been conversation about him wanting to run for governor in Florida someday. If he loses Florida, I think he should get out before Florida. I think he should just say, I'm out. Please back Senator Cruz, because I don't think he would. That's what he would do, I think, and get out, because I think he really is kind of tubing his potential as a future politician if he doesn't.
I think the reason these people, Rubio, Kasich, and some of the others are staying in is because they have a reason to believe from the party elites that they might benefit if they do. I think this talk of broker convention, even though there was a big, hey, let's not do that kind of talk at the last debate, I still think that there's mumblings going on in the powers that be and the people that try to pull the strings. Otherwise, these candidates would get out. John Kasich didn't even make the ballot in all of the districts in North Carolina and Illinois, and I don't believe he qualified for the ballot in Pennsylvania. So he has no clear shot to the nomination, but he talks as though he does. He is openly advocating for a broker convention where he believes he'll be coordinated.
There is an incentive. There is an incentive somewhere for Rubio. I don't understand why he's still in the race, but he definitely is acting as a spoiler to some degree. And with what's happening in Florida, it'll just be humiliating for him. As far as Kasich, he has an idea of what he can get depending on how Ohio goes. If Ohio goes his way, it's going to give him some say about what he will be doing in the future.
You know, I will say all these people, these are serious leaders who obviously all of them thought they would be in serious contention to become the president of the United States. And so they have their, it's a big thing. It's a big ego thing. To my sense, in Senator Rubio, it's nothing but ego. This is a guy who's been captivated the voters in Florida, overcame a huge, deficit in the polling when he first ran for Senate and backed by Tea Party conservatives, managed to win the Senate and then completely turn his back on the conservatives. I think Senator Rubio and the people in Florida who know him, he has no chance because they know they followed his story. They know what he did. They know they picked him to be the tough Tea Party conservative, and he went up there and joined the Gang of Eight. I think it's just insurmountable. And I think in his case, you know, he's a lawyer. He has a path forward. He could get a job in a Washington law firm, Washington lobbying firm. The guy has a future. But this idea, the most powerful position on earth, and I have a slimmest, tiniest chance, a sliver of a chance, I won't surrender it. I think it's pure ego. And I do think in the Florida situation, he says, I know these voters, they like me. He may have some chance at the future of governorship, but the humiliation of being crushed in your own state in the Senate primary, I think he loses that that chance at being governor.
Do these candidates have a choice as to who their delegates go to at convention?
Not of which I'm aware.
Because if they win, rack up a certain number of delegates and it goes brokered, I didn't know if the ones they won, they get to a point.
Oh, no. I'm sure that's not true. I thought you meant right when they dropped out. But no. But you know, the other thing about this brokered convention, Ted Cruz has been the noble statesman on this issue, as in my view of him, and everything is. But in this one in particular, he said, you can't say somebody doesn't get to 1,237 votes, and so, you know, we don't get a choice made of the nominee in the first ballot, so we throw it all out, we all just have a rumble, tumble, and fight it out. He's saying, you have to give it to the person who gets close. You cannot decide at a convention. But the Marco Rubio camp has been constant rumbling what's going to happen in the brokered convention. And John Kasich, too. because otherwise what was going to happen at that convention mm-hmm. is they anyway, it's going to be what Senator Cruz has said is exactly right. This will be I don't know if he said blood in the streets, but this will be havoc. This will create more animosity, anger, upset than anything imaginable, and it's wrong. We're about out of time. You have something you want to say? I couldn't tell, Carrie.
It's gone. Lost it.
The biggest thing that we have to focus on, I think, going forward is Obama has been in the White House for the last 8 years. He has been in the White House and he's gotten everything he's wanted. The question just remains, how's that working for you?
Yeah. In every case, I mean, and these are, you're right. We were telling in the break how the GOP candidates need to be pointing out how badly everything has turned out under left-wing policies mm-hmm. that President Obama has supported. Well, you know what? I really urge you to watch these March 15th primary outcomes, and I'm assuming that Senator Rubio and Governor Kasich will not succeed in their own states, and we really need to give a chance to have the voters have a head-to-head matchup, but we'll see how it goes. Well, you know what? This show and this every week races by way too fast. I always say there's something wrong with the clocks out here. I'm sure that's the case. But in any case, next week we have Lieutenant Colonel Alan West joining us, and he's always, if you have not read his most recent posting that was about the rules of engagement, I will tell you that the guy understands military policy, and just the depth of it and the thought behind it. And so we'll have him on, talk about all sorts of things relating to our national defense, probably talk about Cuba and Iran and North Korea. So don't miss our show next week. I also want to thank Congressman Jeb Henschling for being a guest on the show tonight. Love the guy. So grateful for his work in Washington. Really grateful that he started this whole conversation about Congress reasserting its role. This is going to be a several-year project, and it'll be interesting to see if he gets any Democrats to get on board, because this project is inconsistent with the Democrat goal of expanding power in government. They're not going to like it very much. I also want to urge you, we have a website, ladieskimmytalk.org. It's been updated and redone again recently. We have talking points on that website. We have videos. Every guest you've ever heard in the show, you can go to the website and click on and listen to the link of their interview. I'd love to have you do that. Go to our Facebook page and follow me on Twitter at Debbie Can We Talk. And we have, do you want to quick say your Twitter handle, Carrie? No, okay. So follow me at Debbie Can We Talk and tune in every week, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis. To learn more or to contact us, go to ladiescanwetalk.org. And be sure to join us every Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on 660 AM The Answer.
My book and radio show have the same name, Ladies Can We Talk. The reason I wrote the book, do the radio show, and speak to groups around the country is that I want to inspire people to remember again why America is great. Not just to say that America is great, but to understand why. My job on this show is not only to talk about the issues and events of the day and interview interesting people, but to connect the dots between how we solve today's issues and the impact they'll have on our future. I do this show to persuade listeners that real answers to the challenges we face can only be found by uniting around ideas like American-style liberty, talking less about political labels and identity politics, and more about the uniquely American identity is the only path to greater unity among Americans. This is Debbie Georgiadis. I hope you'll keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on 660 a.m. The Answer. We talk truth about America.
How much of your life are you losing because of pain? I'm Dr. Chad Glines, D.C. at Genesis Back and Neck. And I really do want to give you your life back.
Hi, my name is Brenda. When I was at the most pain, I had been to 3 surgeons and 3 neurologists, and they told me that I could have a fulfilled life out of my wheelchair. When you have 3 doctors tell you, you will never walk again, I had just about given up. He says, I'm pretty sure I can get you out of that wheelchair. I went, my first appointment was May 11th. On May 30th, I walked into the office on my own, no surgery, and it was amazing. If you're in any pain, please give Dr. Chad the chance to get you out of pain.